Hello, I'm David Kerr. I'm Professor of Cancer Medicine at the University of Oxford. I've been involved a little in public health as I've become a more senior member of the medical establishment, and I've had a significant role advising governments from time to time. There's a very interesting paper that's been published fairly recently in British Journal of Cancer, which looks to estimate the lifetime risk of individual citizens of developing cancer in the United Kingdom. It's a very distinguished group from Queen Mary's University of London, so epidemiologically very sound, using a very strong evidentiary base that national cancer statistics in the UK are good. And what they did was they compared the lifetime risk of developing cancer for those born in the 1930s with those born in the 60s. And what they've shown is that for men, the increase in risk has moved from 38.5% for men born in 1930 to 53.5% for men born in 1960. For women, a sort of very similar increase, with an increase from 36.7% for women born in the 1930 to 47.5% for women born in 1960. What this means is that over half the people who are currently adults under the age of 65 will be diagnosed with cancer at some point in their lifetime. Let me say that again. Over half the people who are currently adults under the age of 65 will be diagnosed with cancer at some point in their lifetime. So the risk of lifetime risk of cancer is greater than 50%. One in two of us will develop cancer at some stage in our life. What's driven this? We're an ageing population, so it's predominantly the demography of age. In women, the big increases have been in breast and lung cancer. In men, it's prostate and bowel cancer. What are the reasons for this? Lung cancer, smoking habits of women that were generated, I guess, during the Second World War. Breast, lifestyle changes, women delaying having children, obesity, diet. For prostate cancer in men, it's undoubtedly an ascertainment bias with greater use of PSA, with earlier staging of prostate cancer. So that's been a big shift in the increase in prostate cancer. And colorectal cancer, you know, one could argue that it's been driven by increased consumption of red meat and obesity. But what a remarkable statement. People of my generation have a 1 in 2 lifetime risk of developing cancer. This has huge implications for politicians, for charities, for our health service, how we respond to this ever-increasing cancer burden, how do we make ourselves ready. But I think also for me above all, it has a message for citizens in that the health service can do so much to adapt to deal with the cancer once it's appeared. But citizens, we need to take more responsibility for our own health, and that of course means lifestyle changes around diet, exercise, things we've discussed many times before. This comes at a time when the Macmillan Cancer Relief Charity have just published some data showing that cancer survival rates in the United Kingdom are still lagging behind our major European the other major European nations, almost said European competitors. Our cancer survival figures are about 20 years behind where they are in Scandinavia, in Norway, in Sweden, in France, and the Netherlands. So here we have this significant increase in incidence, a 1 in 2 lifetime chance of developing cancer, and yet still our cancer services seem unable to be able to deliver optimal cancer care. Quite a challenge for policymakers, quite a challenge for us within the United Kingdom. And of course, at this particular point in history, we're gearing up for a new general election, and our NHS is always one of the hot political topics that the various political parties kick around. And I have no doubt that given these sorts of figure, that cancer will be at the top of the political health agenda. I'd be really interested in your comments, as always, if you care to post anything. But for the time being, over and out.